Good afternoon. The Criminal Justice and Public Safety Subcommittee will come to order. Lindsay, please call the roll.
Chair Byrd.
Here.
Vice Chair Brannon.
Here.
Ranking Member Grieco.
Here.
Representatives Barnaby.
Here.
Rosado Cabrera.
Here.
Bush.
Here.
Chambliss.
Here.
Fetterhoff has been excused. Gregory.
Here.
Haig.
Here.
Hart.
Here.
Learned.
Here.
Maney.
Here.
Rizzo.
Here.
Roach. Snyder.
Here.
Tuck.
Here.
Williams.
Here.
A quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Lindsay, and welcome, everybody. Good afternoon. Today is the March 3rd, 2021 Criminal Justice and Public Safety Subcommittee. I'd like to remind everyone to please silence all of their electronic devices. Also, as a member, or as a reminder for our members and presenters, please ensure that you turn your microphone on when you are speaking and off when you are finished. Members, we have seven bills for your consideration today. I think you will find all of them interesting. And so we are going to dive right in with Representative Tomko, HB 833, Unlawful Use of DNA. You are recognized, Representative Tomko.
Microphone on? Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 833, the Unlawful Use of DNA. The issue of DNA theft is multifaceted, and this legislation is a first step to deter individuals and others who might steal DNA to gain access to your private information and then use it against you. The legislation prohibits a person from collecting another person's DNA sample with the intent to perform DNA analysis without informed or written consent of the person whose DNA is to be taken or analyzed, or the informed and written consent of the person's legal guardian. There is a specific exemption of the collection of DNA for the purpose of establishing a paternity in child custody. And that, Mr. Chair, is the bill.
Thank you, Representative Tomko. Members, are there questions on the bill? Questions on the bill? No? All right. Seeing no questions, are there amendments? No amendments. Public testimony? Yes, thank you. First, we have Joshua Dubin, Ike and Lori Perlmutter. Mr. Dubin, you are recognized, sir.
I'd like to thank the committee members for hearing me today and the sponsor, Representative Tomko. On February 27th, 2013, my clients, Ike and Lori Perlmutter, Ike Perlmutter is the chairman of Marvel Entertainment, and sometimes people ask me, that Marvel? Yes, that Marvel, the comic books. Two longtime Florida residents were compelled by subpoena to appear as witnesses in a civil case. Now, they were not parties to this lawsuit. They were merely fact witnesses. Unbeknownst to them, in the months leading up to that deposition, one of the biggest insurance companies in the world, Federal Insurance, which is commonly known, I'm sure, to many of you as Chubb, along with a Chubb lawyer and an insured client, devised a scheme to steal the Perlmutter's DNA. Special papers were prepared as phony exhibits, the sole purpose of which was to hand them to Ike Perlmutter so that he would get his skin cells on them and his DNA could be taken from those skin cells. Ms. Perlmutter was given a water bottle, the sole purpose of which was to get her to drink off that water bottle so that her DNA could be extracted from her saliva. Unfortunately, Chubb's scheme worked. Mr. Perlmutter touched the phony exhibits that were handed to him during the deposition, as one might expect, complying with the rules of court. And Mrs. Perlmutter made the mistake of drinking from a water bottle and trusting that there was nothing amiss. When they left their respective depositions, a lab technician who was planted there and introduced as a colleague secured the phony exhibits and the water bottle in envelopes and baggies befitting a crime scene. To state the obvious, committee members, this was done without the knowledge nor the consent of Ike or Lori Perlmutter. And just when you think this story can't get much worse, it gets far worse. Their stolen DNA was given to an unaccredited lab, and I put lab in air quotes because the extent of their DNA testing equipment was a Q-tip. And the frightening part of this conspiracy was that this unaccredited lab, some lawyers, and one of the parties to that civil case attempted to falsely implicate the Perlmutters in an awful crime that they did not commit. And when they failed to get them arrested down in Palm Beach, a PR firm was used to plant a story in the New York Times touting a false DNA match. Now, this outrageous conduct on the part of Chubb expressly violated Florida Criminal Statute 760.40, which, as the committee knows, requires the informed consent of the person whose DNA is being tested, and that it may not be disclosed without the consent of the person tested. And it's not just my word you have to take. Two Florida judges in a civil case in connection with the theft of this DNA said very succinctly, and this is from the late Judge Manu Sasser, a very well-regarded judge down in Palm Beach, quote, the DNA was, quote, collected and analyzed without their informed consent, end quote, and the results were, quote, disclosed to others without the Perlmutter's permission, end quote. And she said that the behavior, quote, violated Section 760.40 of the Florida statutes. Another judge, again, extraordinarily well-respected, Simone Rowe, down in Palm Beach, who took over after Judge Sasser was no longer on the case, held as follows, quote, compellingly, Chubb's attorney admitted that the plan was put in place because the insured knew that the Perlmutters would not voluntarily submit to testing. This plan is contrary to our judicial process that requires honesty, transparency, and fairness. Now, despite these pointed condemnations by these two well-regarded Florida judges, nobody was prosecuted for this conduct. And I think that's owing to the fact, if I can venture an inference, that it is a misdemeanor currently. And when I say that this was blatant disregard for the law, I want you to hear the following. Under oath, the insured client of Chubb that conspired with Chubb to steal the Perlmutter's DNA was asked the following about the law, 760.40, by my co-counsel, Roy Black, who I'm sure many of you are familiar with. He was asked about 760.40, and here were his responses under oath. Quote, I think it's a silly law. Questioned by Mr. Black, a silly law? Answer, in my opinion, yes, sir, end quote. The Chubb lawyer that helped engineer this scheme was also asked about his involvement. Why did you do this? Why did you violate this Florida statute? Again, questions put to him by Mr. Black. Answer, quote, I didn't have the time to go through some court process. I knew what kind of fight would be put up on the other side that would just complicate our lives, end quote. Finally, I asked some questions to the DNA analyst, this so-called expert that was claiming a match between Ike and Lori Perlmutter. And I showed him the statute under oath, and I said, please read it. Don't you care that you violated this statute? His response under oath, quote, well, question. Well, having read this statute, do you care now? Answer, no, I don't care any more than I did before, end quote. And I see some of you are shaking your heads. And I would say it is shocking. It's shocking conduct, and the admissions are shocking. And I give you this in closing. DNA contains the architecture of who we are as human beings. It contains your entire genetic code, your propensity to certain diseases, your ancestry. It's the unique blueprints that define a human soul. One could not fathom more personal or private information than one's genetic sequence. And that is the policy behind 760.40, to ensure that this most sacred information about a human being remains the province and property of that individual, unless and until they give their informed consent that it can be taken, analyzed, and disseminated. What happened to the Perlmutter should be a cautionary tale. These are people of substantial means that have spent 7 years trying to undo this in a case that is still pending, and no one was prosecuted. This is what can happen when people thumb their nose at the laws in this great state. The testing and analysis of DNA is highly specialized, extremely complicated work that needs to be conducted by unbiased, trained, sophisticated professionals. Put in the wrong hands, it can be extraordinarily dangerous to the people who have it stolen from them, but also to the integrity of science. And what this amendment to the statute does, what this bill does, if I'm not stating it correctly, I tell you that I am with legislative speak like my parents are with technology, not very good. I think it's an amendment to an existing law. What it does is it says, you know what? We are going to protect the privacy of our citizens in Florida, and the statute is good, but as a misdemeanor, it doesn't have teeth, and it needs teeth. Making it a felony will tell people like the ones in the Perlmutter case that DNA laws are not silly, a silly law, and they cannot be pierced due to inconvenience. And it'll send a powerful message to large insurance companies like Chubb that they cannot abuse the court process to further their insured's objectives. And in my last 30 seconds, I'll say this. I know some of the members of this committee are aware of the fact that I am the ambassador to the Innocence Project in New York. I'm also a proud Floridian. I grew up down here. I grew up in Fort Lauderdale. So don't hold my Yankee-ness against me. My parents still live in Port St. Lucie. I want to make very clear that I am not testifying today in my role as Innocence Ambassador to the Innocence Project, nor do I speak on the Innocence Project's behalf in connection with today's hearing. However, as Ambassador to the Innocence Project and someone that has in fact used DNA to exonerate the wrongfully convicted, even here in Florida, I stand before you as lead counsel for the 29th death row exoneree in this state, Mr. Clemente Aguirre. I'm working on the 30th right now. Hope. I know the power of DNA. I understand its utility, and I understand the pivotal role it plays to both prosecutors and criminal defense counsel. Defense counsel need to be able to, during the criminal investigation phase, have access to that DNA. So the amendment suggests, when it says criminal investigations, it suggests that both private parties and government officials who are investigating the identity of the perpetrator of the crime, whether they be working for the defense or the state, may use their discretion to collect DNA samples without the consent. And I, of course, you know, understand the exceptions that currently exist with regard to entrance into the CODIS and state databases and fully support those. I thank you so much for your time, and I'm happy to take any questions that any members may have.
Thank you, Mr. Dubin, for your compelling testimony, and I have a few questions. So, sure. Like others on the committee, I'm an officer of the court, member of the bar like you are. Were sanctions sought against these attorneys?
Sanctions were indeed sought and are pending.
They are pending. Okay. Yes. Can you provide the names of those attorneys to the committee? You don't have to do it now. If you could just provide them to staff.
Yes, I absolutely
I would like to know, and I intend on following up with the bar on that. I mean, I think that is egregious and outrageous conduct, and especially when attorneys flout the law and are willing to do so under oath. I think that violates our oath to the bar.
Yeah, and it is all a matter of public record. There are sanctions filed against all involved, and as you, as an officer of the court, Representative Byrd, you know 57-105 requires resolution of the case, and once we get that, we're confident, we're hopeful that we will get those sanctions.
Outstanding. Thank you. And I think Representative Lerner, you have a question? You're recognized.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just had one quick follow-up, and I think members of the committee probably know I'm running a claims bill for an Innocence Project man, Robert Du Bois, who was released after 37 years being wrongfully convicted on DNA evidence. My only question, and if you can put the Innocence Project hat on for just a moment, is there any part of this bill that would make that work harder? I just want to make sure that we can be as helpful here as possible.
Well, I really appreciate your question. I'm very familiar with Mr. Du Bois' case. It was in Pinellas County, I believe, or in Tampa, right across the water. You know, I'm working on a case on the other side of the water, the James Daly case. That was the case I referred to. To answer your question, I would suggest, I don't want to complicate anything today. There's a minor clarification, which is what I mentioned, which when we talk about, right now the statute says the exception is for criminal prosecutions. But to your point, Representative Learned, the proposed amendment changes criminal prosecutions to criminal investigations. So what we would ask is for a clarification that criminal investigations includes defense counsel in a criminal case that have a good faith basis to believe, for instance, if they are looking for the DNA of an alternative suspect, that they don't have to worry about, they have to have a good faith basis to do it, but if you're looking for the DNA of an alternative suspect, you have to be able to get that DNA to make a comparison. As long as they have a good faith basis to do it, there shouldn't be any, obviously, any, you know, criminal sanctions for that conduct. So that would be it. Otherwise, the exceptions for paternity, entrance into state and the National CODIS database, and for obviously officers, you know, law enforcement officers, you know, we recognize and accept those.
Thank you.
All right, seeing no further questions, please extend to the Perlmutters our, we do have a question. Mr. Representative Bush, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, let me just say to the presenter, very compelling argument, and normally I don't have too much to say in committees. I always try to speak with the sponsors of the legislation, but I am compelled just to say that certainly this is an issue that really need. I want to thank the speaker for sponsor for bringing this forth, because injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
Amen.
And certainly the perpetrators of this particular act was very nefarious in nature, and I think that we have to make sure that not a single person from here on would get this type of treatment when it comes down to their DNA. Certainly our DNA is our genetic code, and everything that embodies our being is in our DNA, and we need to do whatever it takes to protect that under the law. So with that being said, I want to thank you for your presentation, very compelling, and if I ever needed a lawyer, I'm certainly going to look you up.
Now, Representative Bush, may I, A, put that on my website, and B, I want to thank you because you make my mom and dad proud who are in Port St. Lucie watching this on the stream. So thank you very much. My heartfelt and sincere thanks. And I'd be happy to stick around and give you those names and speak to any other members of the committee as you see fit.
Thank you, Mr. Dubin. We appreciate your testimony today. Next, we have Allison Libby Schoonover. Oh, fantastic. Ms. Schoonover, you are recognized as a proponent of the legislation.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Allie Libby Schoonover on behalf of Ancestry.com. Direct to consumer genetic testing is also affected by this bill. Direct to consumer genetic testing can empower you or your constituents to take a proactive role in your health, your wellness, your ethnicity, and your origin. Privacy and security are paramount for Ancestry.com, and privacy and security of your genetic information is very important. Since 2017, Ancestry is part of a coalition of companies who are working to advance privacy and security policy at the federal level. The feds have not acted, so we commend the sponsor for bringing this important issue to Florida. We did have some language that we shared with the sponsor that we believe would improve the definition of consent in the bill. We believe that this definition could be improved by ensuring that there is affirmative authorization with clear and prominent terms for genetic data collection, use, and retention. We look forward to working with the sponsor as the bill moves through the process. Appreciate it, Chairman.
Thank you. And Mr. Bishop, I see you heading out the door. Oh, is he? Hey, waves in support, and you have excellent taste. I have that exact same tie, Mr. Bishop, so I appreciate that. All right. Let's see. No other public testimony? Members, we are in debate. Members in debate. Anyone in debate on the bill? Representative Bush has already had his debate, unless you want more. All right. I know it's dangerous, always dangerous to give you the mic, but you got it.
I just want to thank the sponsor for bringing this good bill forth.
I commend Representative Bush for his outstanding debate. Thank you, sir. All right. Members, no other debate? Anyone else? Oh, Representative Brandon, Vice Chair, you're recognized.
I'll just say at first I felt bad because I have been one of those sneaky ones walking around picking up cigarette butts and straws and glasses, but only in a law enforcement capacity. So I appreciate that. Exemption being there, but what's good for the goose is good for the gander. If the defense decide needs to do that as a part of a criminal investigation, that's a good thing too, because we don't want to put the wrong person in jail.
Right, Representative, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Well, I want to thank everyone for coming up and speaking on this bill. I know the importance and just how important it is to the state of Florida and to each individual in it with their most private and personal information. And in the wise words of Representative Bush, I need a blessing.
Representative Tomko, having closed on her bill, Lindsay, please call the roll on HB 833 and announce the vote.
Representatives Barnaby?
Yes.
Brannon?
Yes.
Usada Cabrera?
Yes.
Bush?
Yes.
Chambliss?
Yes.
Fetterhoff has been excused. Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Learned?
Yep.
Maney? Rizzo?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Williams? Yes. Chair Byrd?
Yes.
16 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Members, by your vote, show HB 833 reported favorably. Thank you. All right. After that very interesting bill, we now have a bill that I think you will find out of this world. We have PCS for HB 221, Recovery of Spaceflight Assets by Representative Saroy. Representative Saroy, you're recognized to present your bill.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and committee members, ranking member. Thank you very much for having me today and for your time. I'm pleased to offer a proposed committee substitute for House Bill 221 relating to the recovery of spaceflight assets. As Florida continues to lead the nation in commercial aerospace, our laws need to evolve with the growing and unique demands of the industry. The recovery of spaceflight debris is an increasingly common issue in Florida, and this debris is analyzed once collected to assess vehicle safety and performance. Current trends in the industry are based on the concept of reusability. This concept means that various components or assets of the spacecraft used both during launch and reentry can be recovered and reused. This practice allows launch providers to reduce the overall cost of getting materials to orbit. The bill defines a spaceflight asset as any item that is a component of a spacecraft during launch, orbit, or reentry. Examples of such components include parachutes, hatches, and fairing. The PCS adds several provisions to existing law to provide for the safe and efficient return of these assets to the launch provider. The bill explicitly provides that a spaceflight asset remains the property of its owner following launch and reentry. Next, the bill requires a person who finds an item reasonably identifiable as a spaceflight asset to report its location to a law enforcement agency. Representative Brandon, I'm sure you wish you were still in law enforcement. You could pick some of these things up. Once authorized by law enforcement and/or the property owner, the company may enter private property to recover the spaceflight asset. The bill provides a criminal penalty if a person knowingly tries to misappropriate an item reasonably identified as a spaceflight asset, like posting the item for sale or refusing to surrender it to the owner. In addition to the practice of reusability and affirming the launch provider's right of ownership, this legislation is intended to protect the intellectual property rights and technological achievements of our great American aerospace companies. Mr. Chairman, that is the bill.
Thank you, representatives. Members, we are in questions. Are there any questions for the sponsor? Any questions? All right, Representative Larned, you're recognized.
I have to ask, and forgive me. I've watched a lot of movies. Does this pertain to spaceflight objects of interterrestrial origin or just terrestrial?
Thank you for the question. This is going to be an issue that we contend with here in Florida as time goes on. And the model has changed. Under the old model of launch, you had government-owned vehicles that largely were not reused. There were various components like solid rocket boosters of the space shuttle that they would go out and refurbish. It happened all at tremendous cost. What we have today is a very fluid situation where very quickly these materials are gathered, whether it's parachutes or stages of the rocket. Come down to my district the next time we offer a tour, and you can see where SpaceX is going out with a barge. They're actually landing stages on these barges, bringing them back into port, and refurbishing them and preparing them for launch months later. And that has dramatically reduced our ability to access orbit. Fishermen are coming across parachutes, hatches. We have experience in my district when the Challenger was lost, pieces of the orbiter were washing up on our beaches. Same situation in Texas and Louisiana when Columbia was lost. Folks were finding elements of these vehicles and putting them up for sale. So this legislation is intended to address some things that we are experiencing currently, but the situation is only going to become more obvious to us as our cadence of launch increases over time. Well, thank you for the question.
Anybody else? Okay. I have a question, Representative Story. We saw in the news, I think a week or so ago, where a commercial airliner, an engine blew up and debris fell onto people's property. Would any part of this bill diminish a property owner's rights from seeking redress from the property owner for damage done to their property?
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions? All right. Outstanding. We are in the no amendments. Public testimony. Thank you. Jeffrey Sharkey, Capital Alliance Group. Yes, sir, you're recognized.
Keep this on. Mr. Chairman, thank you. Jeff Sharkey, represent SpaceX. I'm sure most of you are familiar with that. I want to thank the bill sponsor and the staff for a really fabulous analysis of this issue. I can't tell you how important this is for companies like SpaceX that have come to Florida, really grown the entire infrastructure around the Cape, and have really returned commercial spaceflight to the United States over the last 8 years. You may remember 9 years ago, Space Shuttle Launch Pad 39A had tumbleweeds blowing across it. And then with the innovation of folks like Elon Musk, Bezos and others, Blue Origin, it is a dynamic global space launch complex. I just want to just give a quick overview of SpaceX. I know you see about it, hear about it. We're really proud to have them in Florida, obviously, keep them here. But in 2020, SpaceX launched 26 times, breaking a national record held since 1966. Now, these are commercial launches. In 2021, SpaceX and the rest of the industry intends to far exceed that rate. SpaceX has already launched 5 times this year. They're actually launching, supposed to launch last weekend. It's almost becoming, you know, kind of routine, but it's extraordinarily exciting. These missions support NASA, the national security community, global commercial customers, et cetera. The new Starlink high-speed broadband system that's launching. And over the period of 15 months, SpaceX will launch 7 Dragon spacecraft with astronauts and cargo for the space station. Very exciting. If you saw the one that happened last year, there's another one coming up. Really returning frequent, reliable human space flight to Florida, really after almost a decade of reliance on Russia. As you may know, everything up until a couple of years ago, the Russians really controlled launch access to the International Space Station. So this may seem like a really kind of trivial bill to you, but for companies like SpaceX and others, the intellectual property that's captured in those space components that may, when the booster comes down, when the hatch comes off the canopy, you know, are critically important. The speaker talked yesterday about this whole issue with China stealing intellectual property. That's exactly the concern that they have. And I'll close my comments. Representing SpaceX and all of Elon Musk companies is a very interesting experience constantly. It's hard to keep up with it. But the one thing that we focus on with the legislature, who's been super supportive, and the governor's office, is to keep them here. Because it's grown that entire community and all of the other space companies around it with the help of Space Florida. You know, they have the opportunity to go anywhere. They've got a launch pad in Texas for research. Our goal is to keep them here. This bill, it seems trivial, is extremely important. So I would ask for your support, and again, Representative Saroy has been just a champion. And if anybody wants to sign up, I've got a short list on the launch to Mars as a round trip, just a couple of months. You might miss the session. Just please let me know. But again, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Sharkey. We have Taylor Beal, Space Exploration Technologies, Waves and Support. Any other public testimony? Seeing none, we are in debate. Members, any debate on the bill? All right, well, I'm going to take this opportunity. Space is truly the final frontier, and while we don't want any Star Wars in space, we don't want any wars here on Earth. Did anybody catch this? Mixing Star Trek and Star Wars, I know that's a huge, you know, no-no, but I like them both. So anyway, I think it's a great bill, and I would encourage all the members to go down to Cape Canaveral and see what's happening there in the private sector. It is truly amazing. You will see that the work that we're doing here is impacting that industry. This bill is important. As Mr. Sharkey mentioned, you know, we're going to hear bills about espionage, and our enemies are our competitors. Sometimes there's one and the same. Sometimes they're different. They're looking to capture this technology because we're the world leader and innovator, and Florida is the gateway to space for the world, and this will help keep it there. So thank you, Representative Saroy, for bringing this good bill. All right, members. Representative Saroy, you're recognized to close on the bill.
Mr. Chairman, I couldn't say any better than you. I just want to thank you for the time that you spent working with me to perfect this language, along with Ms. Walsh and Mr. Padgett, House staff. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Troy. Having closed on this bill, Lindsay, please call the roll on PCS for HB 221 and announce the vote.
Representatives Barnaby?
Yes.
Brannon?
Yes.
Usada Cabrera?
Yes.
Bush?
Yes.
Chambliss?
Yes.
Fetterhoff has been excused. Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Learned?
Yes.
Maney? Rizzo?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Chair Byrd?
Yes.
16 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Show PCS for HB 221 reported favorably. Thank you, Representative Troy. All right, members, we are going to keep the love rolling with HB 661, modification or continuation of terms of probation by Representative Botana. Representative Botana, you are recognized to present your bill.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much, and hi to everybody. The bill aligns the statute with legislators' intent by requiring an offer to meet all four eligible criteria before the court requires to modify or continue his or her probation, and limited to imposing a 90-day jail sentence for a technical violation of probation. Pretty much in 2019, with the probation reform, legislators required a court to modify and continuance rather than revoke probation for specific offenders who violated probation by coming to certain technical violations deemed low risk. However, because of the technical drafting error, currently requires a court to modify and continue an offer probation limited, imposing a 90-day jail sentence for technical violations with any of the following criteria. Since this enactment, defendants sentenced to prison for a violation of probation have appealed their sentence, claiming they were entitled to a 90-day jail cap under this. because of they met one statute of the four criteria. That is the bill, sir.
Thank you, Representative. Members, we are in questions. Any questions on the bill? Any questions? Yeah. Representative Williams, you are recognized.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. You mentioned a drafting error. That error was on whose behalf?
That was on, I believe, staff's behalf. So instead of having, they were supposed to change it from, well, it changed from all to any of the four criteria. So that was the back and forth back in 2019.
So it was a penalized, someone was penalized because of the error that was made?
No, ma'am. So in 2019, they wanted to make it, you know, if you pass these four steps, all of these steps, you could get a probation.
Okay.
But what had happened was it would change from all to any with the back and forth. So it's a glitch in the bill. So now folks are just passing one and they're getting out on probation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Members, any other questions? Anybody else in questions? All right, seeing none, public testimony? Oh, and there are no amendments on the bill. Public testimony, Barney Bishop. Smart Justice waves in support. Any other public testimony? All right, seeing none, members, we are in debate. Debate on the bill? No debate. All right. Representative Bitana, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Chair. I waive close, and thank you to the committee for hearing me.
Representative Bitana, having closed on his bill, Lindsay, please call the roll on HB 661 and announce the vote.
Representatives Barnaby?
Yes.
Brannon?
Yes.
Usada Cabrera?
Yes.
Bush?
Yes.
Chambliss?
Yes.
Fetterhoff has been excused. Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Learned?
Yes.
Maney? Rizzo?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Chair Bird?
Yes.
16 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Members, by your vote, show HB 661 reported favorably. Thank you. All right, keeping the trains rolling. We next have HB 777, tampering with or fabricating physical evidence by Representative Garrison. Representative, you are recognized, sir.
Thank you, Chair. Florida law has long prohibited a person from destroying, altering, removing, or fabricating evidence in criminal investigations and criminal proceedings. It's a core component of criminal law, commonly referred to as tampering with evidence. In Florida, currently, a person convicted of tampering with evidence commits a third-degree felony, regardless of the severity of the underlying crime that's being investigated or prosecuted. This can lead to an oftentimes absurd result of a person tampering with evidence in a misdemeanor shoplifting case being subject to the same penalty as a person who intentionally destroys critical evidence in a capital sexual battery or first-degree murder. HB 777 would address this by making it a second-degree felony to knowingly tamper with evidence in investigations or prosecutions of enumerated violent felony offenses such as arson, sexual battery, kidnapping, and making it a first-degree felony to knowingly tamper with evidence in capital crimes or criminal offenses involving the death of another person. Mr. Chairman, that's the bill, and there is a technical strike-all.
Yeah, so are there any questions on the bill, members? Any questions on the bill? All right, seeing none, you are recognized to present amendment barcode number 005527.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Responses to issues raised by committee staff, this strike all makes minor technical changes to clarify the bill language and modernize language in the current statute. It also goes ahead and closes an existing loophole in the current bill by making fabricating evidence and tampering with evidence both level 3 offenses under our criminal punishment severity code. That's a strike all, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Representative Garrison, having explained the amendment, members, are there questions on the amendment? Questions on the amendment. All right. Public testimony on the amendment? Seeing none. Debate on the amendment? Representative, you're recognized to waive close on the amendment.
I waive.
Thank you. let's see. Oh, if you... Sorry, thank you. If you favor the adoption of the amendment, signify by saying yay. Yay. All opposed. Members, by your vote, the amendment is adopted. We are back on the bill as amended. So we've done questions on the bill as amended? Public testimony on the bill as amended? Yes, Barney Bishop. Oh, you can speak to us, Mr. Bishop? Yeah, absolutely, you're recognized.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Barney Bishop with the Florida Smart Justice Alliance. I'm not going to take up a bunch of time. I just wanted to tell you that this is a very common sense solution to a very important issue, and we would ask you all to support and vote this bill up. It's an outstanding bill. Thank you, Representative Garrison, for presenting it, please. Thank you.
All right. Seeing no further public testimony, members, we are in debate on the bill as amended. Any debate? All right, seeing none, Representative, you're recognized to close on the bill.
Very briefly, Mr. Chairman, thank you. This bill derives from the fundamental belief that the punishment should, in fact, fit the crime. Intentionally tampering with physical evidence in violent felony and homicide cases puts us all at risk by concealing the truth in matters of life and death. It's essential that when the stakes are the highest, law enforcement, prosecutors, defense attorneys, judges, and perhaps most importantly, juries of our peers, and have confidence that the evidence they rely on will lead to a true and just outcome. And I ask for your favorable consideration. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Lindsay. Please call the roll on HB 777 and announce the vote.
Representatives Barnaby?
Yes.
Brannon?
Yes.
Usada Cabrera?
Yes.
Bush?
Yes.
Chambliss?
Yes.
Fetterhoff has been excused. Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Learned?
Yes.
Maney, Rizzo?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Chair Byrd?
Yes.
16 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Members, by your vote, show HB 777 reported favorably as amended. Congratulations, Rob.
Thank you, Chair.
All right. All right, members, we are moving rapidly through our list. Next up is House Bill 495, Determining Restitution Amounts for Crimes by Representative Mooney.
Thank you, Chair. Committee. HB 495 is Determining Restitution Amounts for Crimes. Let's see here. I've got a lot of paperwork up here. The bill references several Florida district courts have issued opinions urging the legislature to consider amending Florida's restitution laws to allow a court to consider hearsay evidence and determine a restitution award so that crime victims may be fairly and adequately compensated. It also provides that a court is not bound by the fair market value of a victim's property as the sole standard in determining restitution award. It also authorizes a court to exercise its discretion to further the purposes of restitution, including considering hearsay evidence. That will be it.
All right, thank you, Representative Mooney, for presenting your bill. Members, are there questions on the bill? Members, any questions? Yes, Representative Gregory, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Mooney, how does this bill impact the court's opinion in Marbury versus Madison?
I appreciate that question, Representative Gregory, and I have no idea. We defer that to staff, obviously. I am not an attorney.
All right. All right. Members, any other questions? Any other questions? All right. So there are amendments. Looks like there are two. We are going to first take up barcode number 457031. Representative Mooney, you are recognized to explain the amendment.
I believe Representative Gregory will present that amendment.
Okay. So, all right. So you're correct, Representative.
As I was told.
Oh. So, Representative Mooney, I believe you are supposed to withdraw that amendment.
Oh, I'm
so
sorry.
Can you just tell us you're going to withdraw that one?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry about that. I'm new to this. This is no ordinances in this community here.
No.
I withdraw that amendment, sir.
All right. We'll show barcode 457031 withdrawn. And we will move on to the second amendment, number 460425 by Representative Gregory. Representative Gregory, you're recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Chair. That is my amendment, but I defer to Representative Mooney to explain.
And the is basically going to mirror his original amendment, and basically the only difference between Representative Amendment and my amendment is relating to the clause.
Okay, members, are there any questions on the amendment? Any public testimony on the amendment? Any debate on the amendment? All right. Representative Mooney, you recognize to waive close on the amendment?
Waive close.
All right. If you favor the adoption of the amendment, signify by saying yay. Yay. All opposed? All right. We will show the amendment adopted. And we are back on the bill as amended. Questions on the bill as amended? Public testimony? Yep. All right. We have Lauren Gallo, League of Women Voters. She is waives in opposition. And Barney Bishop, you recognize her? Smart Justice waives in support. Outstanding. Members, we are in debate on the bill as amended. All right. Seeing none, Representative Mooney, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Waive close.
Thank you. Lindsay, please call the roll on HB 495 and announce the vote.
Representatives Barnaby?
Yes.
Brannon?
Yes.
Usada Cabrera?
Yes.
Bush?
Yes.
Chambliss?
Yes.
Federhoff has been excused. Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Learned?
Yes.
Maney? Rizzo?
Yes.
Roach? Snyder?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Chair Byrd?
Yes.
15 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Members, by your vote, show House Bill 495 reported favorably as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, committee.
All right, members, we are on number 6 of 7. Next up is House Bill 921, Electronic Threats, by Representative Snyder. Member of our committee, Representative Snyder is making his way down to the podium. It's a testament to our staff that they bring us such quality bills, and our members that we have just, you know, rolled through all of this unanimously. Let's keep it going. And Rep. Snyder, you are recognized to present HB 921.
Good afternoon, Chair Byrd, Ranking Member Grieco. It is an honor to be here to present my bill this afternoon, but with all due respect to the chairman, I would like to say it's especially great to see our Vice Chair, Rep. Brennan. I know it's been a heck of a month for you, sir, but as much as you are a true dedicated public servant, you're an even better and stronger fighter, so keep it up, and good to see you this afternoon. Members, I stand before you this afternoon to present House Bill 921, an act related to electronic threats. This bill will amend Florida Statute 836.10 and modernize existing statute pertaining to the threats of violence, death, and/or school shootings. Current law addresses the transmission of threats via snail mail, email, and text messages, and with the ever-increasing use of social media, what this bill will do will simply modernize the language to reflect the manner in which many people currently communicate in 2021. Mr. Chairman, that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative Snyder, for presenting your bill. Members, are there questions on the bill? Questions on the bill? All right, seeing none, there is an amendment, barcode number 980331. Representative Snyder, you're recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Amendment 980331 does not make any substantive changes to the bill. It simply clarifies the language in the original draft.
Thank you, Representative Snyder. Members, other questions on the amendment? All right, seeing none, public testimony on the amendment? Debate on the amendment? All right, Representative Snyder, you're recognized to close on your amendment.
Waive closed, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Members, if you favor the adoption of the amendment, signify by saying yay. Yay.
Yay.
All opposed? All right, by your vote, the amendment is adopted. We are back on the bill as amended. Questions on the bill as amended? Public testimony? Barney Bishop? Thank you. Smart Justice waves in support. Members, we are in debate on the bill as amended. Debate on the bill. Any debate? Okay. All right. Well, I'll just briefly say I appreciate you bringing this good bill. You know, and it, it, the Yeah, bills like this are somewhat difficult. We've seen similar versions in the past. The First Amendment is obviously first for a reason, and because we value freedom of speech, but we also live in an age in which it is easier than ever to threaten, to do bodily harm and violence against people. And I think this bill will send an important message that that is not acceptable behavior in a polite society, and that there are repercussions and consequences for those types of actions. So I appreciate you bringing this bill, and it's a challenging one, but I think a necessary one. All right, any other debate? All right, seeing none, Representative, you recognize the close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Waive close.
Outstanding. Having waived close, Lindsay, please call the roll on HB 921 and announce the vote.
Representatives Barnaby?
Yes.
Brannon?
Yes.
Busada Cabrera?
Yes.
Bush?
Yes.
Chambliss?
Yes.
Federhoff has been excused. Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Learned?
Yes.
Manny?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Roach? Roach? Snyder?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Chair Byrd?
Yes.
16 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Members, by your vote, show HB 921 reported favorably as amended. Congratulations. All right. And last on our list today is another one by a member of this committee. Representative Maney is recognized to present House Bill 381, Probationary or Supervision Services for Misdemeanor Offenders. Representative, you are recognized, sir.
Excuse me. Thank you, Chairman Byrd, and thank you for your indulgence letting me present in another committee and then come back. Ranking member and vice chair and ranking member, I'm sorry, and members of the committee, I'm very pleased to present a bill based on some experiences I've had. House Bill 381 will amend Section 948.01 of Florida statutes and allow private entities to provide probationary services for misdemeanor defendants who have been sentenced in circuit court. Frequently, misdemeanor offenses only get to circuit court because they're tied to a felony. So this bill will change the law. If the accompanying felony is either pled down to a misdemeanor, is dismissed or is no-prost, the remaining misdemeanor under current law has to be sentenced in over half of our counties to state probation. This bill will allow that probation to be supervised by a private entity, like is frequently the case in county court where most misdemeanors are heard. It will simplify state employees' workload to the extent that this bill is utilized by circuit judges, and it will avoid confusion among defendants who know they're being convicted or sentenced for a misdemeanor and they don't understand that if they're on state probation, they have a whole range of other rules that they have to follow. I do have a technical amendment to the bill, Mr. Chairman, but that's the bill.
Thank you, Rep. Manny. I'm gonna go ahead and jump to the amendment. Let's do questions on the bill. Are there questions on the bill? Any questions? All right, no. All right, there's an amendment, barcode number 881041. Representative Maney, you're recognized to explain the amendment.
It's simply, Mr. Chairman, it's simply a technical amendment. It deletes the last four words on the draft bill.
Okay. Thank you for that explanation. Questions on the amendment? Seeing none, public testimony on the amendment, debate on the amendment. Representative Manning, you recognize to close on your amendment?
Waive, close.
Thank you, sir. Members, if you favor the adoption of the amendment, signify by saying yay. Yay. Opposed. All right, we will show the amendment adopted. We're back on the bill as amended. Public testimony. Okay. We have Connor Cox, Professional Probation Services, Inc. Mr. Cox in the room. He's a proponent of the bill. Clay Cox, PPS, Inc. Mr. Cox, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. PPS family of companies operates 68 locations in several states, managing misdemeanor defendants and convicted and pre-trial and various sentencing alternatives. We operate 14 locations here in Florida. Other states where this, the policy that the bill contemplates, it's been a tremendous success in that it has relieved state, parole, community corrections, case managers, probation officers from the burden of managing misdemeanor defendants, where often they don't get the attention they need just because of overwhelmed state employees. It's been a good thing. It's increased the quality of supervision for felons as well as misdemeanors. Appreciate your favorable consideration of the bill.
Thank you, sir. Next up, we have Barney Bishop. Mr. Bishop, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Barney Bishop. I'm with the Florida Smart Justice Alliance. We've had the privilege of working with Judge Maney over the years. In fact, he was a speaker at one of our annual justice summits about 7 or 8 years ago, and he's had an exemplary record on the bench. It's one of compassion, but it's one of also of justice. And this bill is really about helping those people that have committed a misdemeanor offense, but with the felony being pled down, to only have to do county supervision. This is another bill that just makes common sense. And given the caseloads that state employees on the probation teams have, this is going to be, take that away from them and let them focus on the more serious folks, while companies that have private expertise that are hired all the time and to help government provide some of the services that are critical, they will do a very good job. And obviously this company that Mr. Cox represents already represents a number of the counties in the state. So we applaud Judge Maney for presenting this bill and sponsoring it. We hope that every one of you will vote in support of this good bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Next up, we have Amy Mercer of Florida Police Chiefs Association. She waves in support. All right, seeing no further public testimony, members, we are in debate on the bill as amended. Oh, yes. Yeah, ranking member, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to, if anybody has any reservations on this or they're kind of furrowing their brow or I can't really see faces under the masks or, you know, the millions of people watching at home, that are worried about privatization of criminal justice. This happens all the time. Like Miami-Dade County, the entire county court system, the entire probation system is privatized. It's been like that for decades. It works wonderfully. And this is essentially, it's a glitch in the law where if it's a circuit court case, you get directed somewhere else and you don't get to enjoy the same benefits that you would if it was a county court case. So just simplifying it for the non-lawyers or for anybody that's concerned about any sort of privatization. This is already something that is in the process, and it already works. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Those are great comments. I appreciate that. Members, any other debate? Yeah, Representative Brandon, our ranking member, our vice chair. Boy, I am all over the place. Judge, officer, you wear many hats, sir. You're recognized.
Many masks, too. Thank you for this good bill. Since the late 80s, I'll back up what Representative Grieco said. We've had an excellent group, Tri-County Probation, that handles Baker, Union, and Bradford. And several years ago, DOC quit coming to Baker County. So it's a burden on them to have to drive 35 or 40 miles over to Stark from McClinney. So we appreciate that. Those that get their charges whittled back down to misdemeanor court, let's make it as easy as we can.
Members, any other debate? Nope, no other debate. All right, Lindsay, please call the roll on HB 381 and announce the vote. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped your close. Please close on your bill.
If I can plagiarize, Mr. Chairman, Representative Bush, I'm going to waive but ask for a blessing.
All right. Having asked for a blessing, Lindsay, please call the roll on HB 381 and announce the vote.
Representatives Barnaby?
Yes.
Brannon?
Yes.
Busada Cabrera?
Yes.
Bush?
Yes.
Chambliss?
Yes.
Fetterhoff has been excused. Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Learned?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Roach? Snyder?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Chair Bird?
Yes.
16 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Members, by your vote, show HB 381 reported favorably as amended. Members, that concludes all of our bills today. I appreciate everyone's cooperation and attention. We have two meetings next week, so please come prepared with lots of good questions and debates. We're going to hear a lot of good bills. So with that, that concludes our work for today. And Representative Bush, with a blessing, moves we rise.